she leaned against the wall, exhaustion showing in every line of her body. "You need rest," Suara said. Beneath her usual bluntness, Obi-Wan sensed real concern. He could see why. Kyuri looked ready to collapse. Yet somehow Kyuri reached down and called up a reserve of strength. She straightened and shook her head. "There can be no rest for me. Don't you know that? Not when I'm responsible for this." She looked over the city again. "For all of this horror," she whispered. "What do you mean?" Ciri asked.
"Didn't Galen tell you?"
Kyuri sighed.
"We own a research laboratory here. I run the financial side. Galen is the scientist. The toxic emission came from our lab. We still don't understand how it happened, though that doesn't make us any less responsible. Galen has been working day and night on the evacuation effort. He could have left long ago."
"And you?" Obi-Wan asked.
"I was in the clear sector, as was Galen, when we heard. I came here. I was trained as a medic originally. Here is where I was most needed."
"It was brave of you to come," Suara said. Kyuri pressed her lips together.
"It was the least I could do."
"Have you investigated the leak at your lab?" Ciri asked. Kyuri shook her head.
"I didn't have time to review safety procedures, so I just ordered it shut down. It was clear very quickly that we were dealing with something that moved very fast. I came back when I knew we were running out of time to help the sick. We didn't realize that the sick would turn into the dying. We had no idea what to expect. Galen was involved in weapons development, you see. He was experimenting with the toxin for a future bioweapon. He had no idea what he had."
"What do you know about the toxin?" Ciri asked.
"We know more about what it isn't than what it is," Kyuri admitted. "We know it isn't a virus. It isn't a gas. But it has been carried through the air. Somehow, it is absorbed into the system, but we aren't sure how. It could be through the skin. The particles are so microscopic that even a bactobath would not clear it all away."
"It doesn't seem that you have the same problems here that the clear sector does," Obi-Wan observed. "There's no sign of panic or rioting." Kyuri nodded tiredly.
"There was no time for panic. The dying cannot riot. Those who couldn't make it here to the med center are dying in their homes. I make the rounds. I do what I can. That is very little."
"What other kind of help can we give you?" Ciri asked.
"You have brought the medicine," Kyuri said. "That was a great help. Perhaps you could patrol the city and find out how many still need help. I haven't been able to get to every dwelling. You can help us organize. People will listen to you. Once the ships arrive, they will have more advanced medcare. We might be able to save a few. You have to give them hope, at least."
Kyuri's voice faltered. Obi-Wan nodded, then turned to the others.
"We should split into two teams. We can call two of the Padawans here, and two masters can return to the clear sector."
Rygol nodded. "We might be able to move another team back after we accomplish something here," Suara said, as Ciri nodded in agreement. Kyuri looked from one Jedi to the other.
"But you can't return."
"What?" Suara asked.
"Didn't Galen tell you? Once you cross over to the isolation sector, no one is allowed to return. It is forbidden. Until we know that you're not carrying the toxin back on your skin or clothes, we can't risk it."
"We're wearing bio-isolation suits," Ciri said.
"Yes, but you can't wear them back to the clear sector," Kyuri explained. "The toxin may now be on your suit. Even if you remove it, some residue on the suit may touch your skin. Until we know how much of the toxin is needed to cause the epidemic, we can't let you return."
She looked at them helplessly.
"I'm sorry. I thought you knew. When the evacuation ships arrive, you will be able to undergo bio-cleansing aboard ship. Then I imagine there will be a quarantine period. We don't have the facilities here."
Obi-Wan looked at the other Jedi Masters. Kyuri's news was exasperating, but Jedi did not waste time on such emotions.
He knew that, like him, they were all thinking of what to do next. "We should contact our Padawans with more detailed instructions," Sawara spoke crisply.
"They will have to handle any problems in Takto," Siri said.
"Perhaps we should contact the Jedi Council and ask for an additional Jedi team, or maybe two."
"By the time they arrived, the evacuation ships would be here," Obi-Wan said.
"The Padawans will have to handle things on their own."
He could see that none of them liked this prospect. Some of the Masters had not had their Padawans very long. It made him uneasy to think of Anakin in an unstable situation without him. But there was no other solution. Obi-Wan activated his comlink. He was relieved when he heard Anakin's voice. He knew the communication between the two sectors could be difficult. That would be another problem.
"We have a problem here," he told Anakin. "We are unable to return to the clear sector. You and the rest of the Padawans will have to manage that aspect of the mission."
"I see," Anakin said neutrally.
"The safety of the population is your first priority," Obi-Wan said. "Establish safety patrols to keep the peace. Try to keep misinformation from spreading. Coordinate with Galen as to the evacuation schedule. Avoid using violence. And take no lives."
"Yes, Master."
"Now, as for details..." Obi-Wan began, but suddenly the communication was cut off. When he tried to contact Anakin again, he could not reach him. Obi-Wan hid his frustration as he tucked his comlink back in his belt.
"They'll be fine," Siri said. "I trust Ferris. He's been on many missions."
"And I trust Anakin," Obi-Wan agreed. Still, a small voice inside him hoped that Anakin would be able to work well with the other Padawans without his watchful eye.
"We'll try again later," Sawara said. "In the meantime, we should split into teams."
Obi-Wan glanced at Siri, and she nodded. There were many times that they clashed in the past, but that did not matter. They had worked together before and knew each other's rhythms.
"Obi-Wan and I will begin to search the city for more of the sick," Siri said.
"We'll take the North Sector," Obi-Wan said.
"We need to compile lists so that we can assure there is space for everyone. We must make sure all the sick are evacuated. We'll check in when we can."
Rygol nodded.
"May the Force be with you," Sawara said.
"May the Force be with you," Obi-Wan and Siri repeated. Then they turned toward the eerie emptiness of the city and began their walk toward death. Chapter 7. The Padawans had just left the med center when Obi-Wan contacted Anakin. They had remained to make sure that the Radnoran father would be all right. They had questioned the family, but no one knew the raiders. They had arrived out of nowhere. Other families in the neighborhood had been hit too, so they'd been worried that they would be attacked. But there was no way to defend themselves against the prototype droids. The four Padawans paused on the outside of the med center. Suddenly, they felt very alone.
"I spend half my time impatient to be a Jedi Knight," Dara said finally. "Now all I want is to be a Padawan. I wish Sawara were here."
She reached into the pocket of True's tunic and withdrew the bag of candy he kept there. She popped a piece of Figda in her mouth and chewed furiously.
"We'll do fine," Anakin said confidently.
"No stress," Ferris agreed. The expression in his dark eyes was serene.
"Between all of us, we've been on enough missions to handle this."
"How should we start?" True asked.
"Did they want all of us to go on safety patrols? Or should one team coordinate with Galen on the evacuation?"
"Obi-Wan didn't say," Anakin answered. "But if you ask me, safety patrols won't accomplish much if we don't flush out the raiders."
"Hold it," Ferris said. "That would be overstepping our instructions."
"We've received no clear directions," Anakin pointed out. "The communication cut out. We know our first priority is the safety of the citizens, and we can't possibly accomplish that with safety patrols alone."
"You don't know that for sure," Ferris said.
Dara looked from Anakin to Ferris.
"Excuse me? I don't want to interrupt, but I just wanted to point out that there are two other Padawans here. Do we get a vote?"
"Sure you get a vote," Anakin said.
as long as you agree with me. He smiled to let her know he was kidding.
What do you have in mind?
True asked Anakin.
Let's discuss the plan first, then vote on it.
It would be much more fun to stand here arguing, Dara said.
I say we split into teams, Anakin said. One team can conduct safety patrols. The other can work on finding the headquarters of the Raiders.
He knew very well that he wasn't going to be the team conducting safety patrols. He and True would go after the Raiders.
How?
Ferris asked. We don't have the resources to comb the whole city.
We don't have to. I have an idea.
Anakin gestured at the fallen droids around them.
Even a prototype droid would have a homing device. All we have to do is take one of the droids we deactivated and tap into it.
Do you know how to do that? Dara asked.
Sure, Anakin replied.
It can't be that easy, Dara said. Anakin grinned.
I didn't say it was easy. I said I could do it.
Hold on a second, True said.
These are battle droids. Most likely they undergo an automatic memory wipe if they are captured or deactivated.
There isn't a memory wipe that I can't get around, Anakin said confidently.
The homing device is coded into the main sensor suite.
I can find it.
If we revive a droid, it will lead us straight to the headquarters.
Dara shrugged.
It's worth a try.
True nodded.
All right. I say we go after the headquarters.
Then it's decided, Ferris said. Though I don't think we should split into teams. If Anakin is successful and we do find the headquarters, no doubt there will be more of those prototype droids. Too many for one team to handle. Privately, Anakin thought that he and True could handle the droids, but he nodded.
All right.
Obi-Wan had given him a warning that he must cooperate. Respecting the Jedi values, Anakin took that seriously. They headed back to the Radnoran family home. The fallen droid still littered the grounds. Anakin found one that was mostly intact. It had lost its arms, and its artillery control panel had fused, but the main sensor suite wasn't too badly damaged. Anakin removed his utility kit from his belt and went to work. He opened the sensor suite panel. True bent over to look.
Standard, except for those circuits, he said, pointing. I remember seeing a manual regarding the OOM-9 battle droid. This looks similar.
Anakin was grateful for True's photographic memory. Some of the circuitry was new to him. He pointed to a tightly packed array of multicolored wires by the sensory input cable.
Do you remember which wire goes with what? The green are for locomotion. The white connect to artillery devices. See how they fused and shorted? The blue are for passive mode sensors, and I think these cables here are part of the signal receiver assembly.
I bet the homing device is connected somehow, Anakin murmured.
It's a good place to start, True agreed.
Dara seemed interested in their progress, but Anakin could feel Ferris's impatience behind him. He tried to screen it out.
I've got it, Anakin said at last. I reconnected the homing device to the locomotion sensor through the sensory plug-in. If I turn it on, the droid should head back to its origin point.
Let's give it a try, True said.
Remind me to get you guys the next time my comlink malfunctions, Dara said.
You'd probably rebuild it into a cargo lifter.
We'll have to move fast to keep the droid in sight, Ferris said. Is everyone ready?
When he saw everyone nod, Anakin switched on the droid. They stepped back as it beeped and checked circuits. Then suddenly, it wheeled about and fired its repulsor lift engines, taking off down the boulevard. The four Padawans had to race to keep it in sight. They flew down the streets of the city, occasionally force-jumping past obstacles. They quickly passed through the neighborhood of fine homes, raced through a commercial district, and then found themselves outside a small warehouse. The droid hovered outside for a moment, its head rotating. The Padawans dived behind a wall. They watched as the droid accessed a control panel hidden behind what appeared to be a sheer wall. A door slid open, and the droid disappeared inside. Anakin leaped forward and shoved his lightsaber hilt between the closing door and its frame. The door stayed open a fraction. With True, Ferris, and Dara, he pushed it open the rest of the way. The Padawans slid inside. It was a gloomy interior. At first they could see or hear little. Anakin concentrated. He heard the sound of voices. He motioned to the others.